City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast. I just blasted your ears out, didn't I, Peter?
Yeah, no, I'm just scratching myself. That's all.
Show number 130. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Don't scratch yourself.
I had to. Well, I wasn't scratching down there. You couldn't hear that one.
Oh.
How are you?
I am good. No. I'm very good because now I know who my top four are on the So You Think You Can Dance.
Really?
Yes.
I can,
big spoiler coming right here if you haven't watched it, but Sabra is going on to the finals.
Mm. Is that a boy or a girl?
It's a girl. Okay. She's fantastic. And Danny, who is beautiful, and Neil, whom all the girls think is beautiful. I'm sure you'd think is beautiful. He's blonde and long-legged. And and then Lacey. So it's really, really, really exciting.
So the one that reminds you of me is not going on?
No, he just got kicked off.
Oh,
Pasha.
Pasha was his name.
Yeah, he had no shirt on. He was very, very pretty.
Oh,
he's very pretty. Well, all three of these boys, yeah, all three of these boys are beautiful. One is Russian and beautiful. One looks like a blonde, just boy next door, beautiful. Mm. And one is African American and pretty, pretty, pretty.
Pretty, 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 pretty princess.
He is the most pretty dancer I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow.
Wow. He is. I mean, people on this show come on and say he's a legend. He will be one of the great dancers.
So
whether
who's
he
gay?
Wins, they're all gay.
There you go.
They're all gay.
You heard
I even
it
hope
here
the
first.
Women are gay, except the two. Well, Lacey's too much of a sex pot, but we could turn her.
Wait, what does that mean? She can be gay in a sex pot.
She could be. She's like a little Lisa Marie Presley or maybe a little more Priscilla Presley looking. She's,
Ooh,
and Sabra's
feline.
Oh, very, 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 very. But anyhow, so that was my big news last night. But so we're watching this week for the big finals.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
My television moment, because I'm now dreading the next 2 weeks because we only have two more big loves left.
I know. I haven't watched last night, so you can't talk.
Oh.
I'm so sorry, but I did watch Weeds last night. But I
did. I was not happy with that first episode.
Weeds made me upset.
It felt a little...
Yeah.
It didn't feel right.
Well, they left so much shit going on last year that... Yeah, that's where I was left. I was just glad to get the ball rolling, but it was not a satisfying episode.
No, I felt like that was it. It's been 25 minutes. It's over. Wait a minute. Do it again.
I'm so sorry that I haven't watched The Big Love. Shame on me.
Oh my God.
So
I can't
bad.
Believe it because there's more lesbianness. I can't believe.
I know.
Like,
we'll
oh
talk. We'll talk, but not tonight. Don't spoil it for me.
Okay. That's all right.
I apologize.
That's all right. But
so
was...
your weekend was not full of television.
No.
It could have been Live or Memorex, I guess.
Basically.
If you replay it in your mind. But
from Friday night when I got home from work until Monday morning, I did not leave not the one block radius, not the half block radius, not even the quarter block radius. I never was more than 50 feet from my front door.
Yeah, you were.
I was literally just here doing what I need to do. I worked at the spin booth all weekend at Market Days. It was a lovely, lovely time.
So what is Market Days for people who don't know?
Market Days is a gigantic street festival. It's one of the bigger attended ones in Chicago on the streets, actually.
Yeah.
I believe about 450,000 people generally show
over
up. Over 2 amazing days, and there were actually four stages this year. There was a stage down. It goes from Halsted and Belmont, which is one end of the neighborhood, all the way down to Addison and Halsted, which is another end of the neighborhood. And those aren't definitely the terminus of the gay neighborhood, but it's just one big long thing. So it's a good, what, 5 blocks, 6 blocks?
Oh, easily.
Maybe more? Maybe some more.
Maybe
more
like
than that.
Seven or eight.
Maybe a full mile. Maybe it's a full mile. From Addison to Belmont on Halsted. And there are stages and local performers, national performers. Taylor Dane was here. Ari Gold came and played. Sean Wiggins, who we were just talking to the other day, was here. Got to hang out with her and chat with her a bit. She was delightful. Catfight, totally fun.
The girls rocking it out.
So wonderful.
They're like a girl cover band, and they just rock it
and
out.
She was wearing...
Little-
Little is the key. She was wearing like little panty bodysuit with cutout bits and pieces and fishnets. And
I love them.
Yeah, they were hot. Totally hot. All the lesbians were like melting literally on the streets. But it's basically a giant street festival of vendors, and there's food and there's art and there's music and there's shirtless boys and kind of topless girls, but with pasties on.
Mm-hmm.
And just people and their children. And it's a very queer festival, but it's also a very blended festival. It's just a beautiful one in Chicago. It's really
like
cool.
Three or four times the size of Taste of Chicago, somebody told me.
Yeah,
once,
it's which much is an larger. Enorm,
I mean, everybody thinks Taste of Chicago is one of the biggest festivals in mm-hmm. the city, but to be exponentially
Taste just goes
bigger.
Longer.
It goes longer,
that's
but
all.
There's not as many people.
No, well, there,
exponentially,
over 2 days. Yeah, there aren't yeah. not as many people visit the Taste of Chicago over 2 days as visit Market Days,
which is
but
insane.
It's, yeah, and it
just gives you an idea of how big it is.
Yeah, it's dense, very dense too. It's very tight crowds and everything. Of course, I didn't go past the spin booth, so I didn't see hardly any of Market Days, but I heard all of the Belmont music. And I stayed there. And the wonderful thing about working in one of the booths is basically you just stand there and the parade walks by you.
Yeah.
So it
everybody
was good
comes
to say,
up to you.
Yeah. We're down at the end. So everybody comes down to the end to see what's going on down there, buys a beer, a drink from me, tips me handsomely, and then walks on. Just delightful. But it was good to hang out with my friends. I cooked good food so we could come upstairs and have my little break room house. It's yeah. like food and everything. And it's always just, it's fun to work a festival like that with a group of people, because by the end of the weekend, you've all become super tight. You've become really good friends if you weren't friends already. And I made friends with so many of these handsome softball boys on the spin team. Let me just tell you, by the time we were all liquored up later on that night, it
uh-oh.
Got very warm. It's getting
what can you
here.
Tell us? What can you not tell us?
I can't tell you anything more than that.
Oh, my Lord.
I can't talk because I tend not to kiss and tell. Maybe in a couple of weeks we can talk about it. But it's a fun festival. And I think the interesting thing I noticed was it's become a destination thing in Chicago, which
yeah.
I didn't quite realize it was. There were a lot of people who traveled to Chicago specifically just for this festival.
Well, you know, it's pretty amazing array of talent, of music. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a lot going on in all the bars that weekend. And so it's really a great time to come to the city and make a long weekend of it. Truly
yeah.
can have a great, because Friday night, while they're setting it up, all the clubs are packed and everybody's
oh, yeah.
getting ready. And Sunday night, everybody, once they're cleaning up, is in the bars. And so it's a really mm-hmm. great, if you liked party,
yeah.
It's like a big outdoor circuit party that you can kind of invite your mom to for a certain number of hours during the day, and then
yeah.
she kind of has to go away.
Well, no, I mean, not even that. but what I did notice is that there were so many families out there and everything. And I thought one of the cutest things I did see that people had these little pigs from Steamworks.
Pigs?
Yeah, they had little stuffed pigs. So
uh-huh.
like if you spun the wheel, you got like the dirty piggy.
Oh,
and then
funny.
You're it was lovely. I almost got a dirty piggy as a tip, but then this heifer took it away from me and was like, don't give him a tip of that pig. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, she put a 20 down, so I wasn't mad at her, but I wanted the fucking pig.
I know.
Give me the dirty piggy. I wanted the dirty piggy, but anyway. What are you going to do? You can't do nothing about it. But it was a good weekend.
Yeah.
It was a good weekend. I'm very tired. My feet hurt. I'm getting old. I'm not as able to bounce back as I used to be able to.
Well, that's just a hard thing for anybody to do. I remember being 20 younger.
20 what?
I was going to figure out an age, but just say younger, because I used to host the stage, you know, every year mm-hmm. at Belmont, and that you'd be on such an adrenaline high, and things
yeah.
are changing so rapidly, and so many singers, and you're saying hi to people and comedians, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you're turning right and it's Sophie B. Hawkins, you're turning left, it's Margaret Cho, because we always produced that stage when I was hosting it with Les Baguet, and it was just going all the time. And then you kind of just went home and got up the next morning and started again.
Yep.
So you don't really stop. And then when you stop, you kind of, the adrenaline leaves your body and all of a sudden you go, yikes.
Yeah,
well, that's what my muscles feel like from standing on asphalt
for 48
hours.
Slanted asphalt too, because you're on the side. Yeah. But then you lay on the couch and watch Weeds and Big Love. And
yeah.
Eat Italian ice. That's what I did.
Aww.
That was my Monday night. It was delightful. It was good to relax.
And it's a little sad because it seems like Market Days is a bit of the dawning of the end of summer.
Yeah.
Followed only by the Aaron Water Show, which is coming up
this
weekend.
Right.
So it's those two things just evoke to me that we're slowly mm-hmm. sliding into that. But now as kind of an adult, not really worried about the college crowd and all of that.
I just want to sit on their face.
Yeah, me too. or have them sit on mine, whatever.
Not you college know, boys. They don't know how to clean.
Oh,
right.
Lord. You had to take it there. But the interesting thing is that I really love September in this city. So I kind of look forward to August and September. September, it's my birthday month. But in addition to that,
send gifts.
But honestly, I love September. I love that it's still so beautiful here. Mm. And it feels like a bonus in this city.
I look forward to those mornings where it's so cool you have to wear a jacket.
Which was, well, not today. No, it wasn't so cool to wear a jacket, but it was cool today.
It was cool. It was cool this morning. Of course, now it's like sweaty and drippy and nasty. I have some coworkers in from London, and I promised them they would get all the heat and some rain. So I've been right so far.
You have been stood corrected. Yeah, you are stood correct. Right.
We went on a little walking tour last night, too. It was pretty cool. We walked around before I came home. I don't know how I was walking on those feet.
That probably helped you than staying still. Maybe, like, I don't know.
It was crazy, but we went on a little tour through downtown, and I put my Chicago tourism hat on and and told them about buildings and where the big...
Did you ride a Segway?
No, we didn't. We didn't do the Segway thing, but we actually walked from the Civic Opera House all the way to basically Water Tower.
Wow, that's a good walk.
So along the river Avenue, and then pointing out things. Yeah, it was lovely.
The Tribune building.
Yeah, they were amazed.
The new Trump building.
My one coworker is from the UK, and he was amazed that there were all these bricks and pieces because, you know, the from all over the world because they wanted to say we're real cosmopolitans. So they built the building and they put like pieces of the Colosseum and the Parthenon. And he was like, I can't believe this. I said, yeah, but dude, I was in your museum.
Yeah.
I saw all the stuff that y'all stole. So, you know, we're even now. Okay.
And we're also just tiny youngins. We're just taking a little piece of history here and there in the United States.
Exactly. I don't have half of Tut's tomb hanging out in the glass case. Thanks. But it was all about perspective. But it was a lovely, lovely walk. And then I came home and, you know, relaxed.
Last weekend, we haven't had a podcast since I was at my friend Deb Mel is running for state assembly, and went to a little event for her. And during the event, it was last Thursday night, and at the event, they kind of created the event that evening because if she wins, she'll be the first lesbian in the assembly. But that evening was a historic night in the GLBT community because it was the first ever presidential debate on GLBT issues ever in our U.S. history, where we had a number of the presidential Democratic candidates show up. It was created by HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, and Logo, aired on Logo, also aired live, streamed online on the web, so people around the world could see this. And it was a very big night, just in the fact that it existed.
Right.
Nothing really almost had to happen for the night to be a huge thing. And tonight, just going over the debate, which we really wanted to do here, Kathy Renna of Renna Communications, I have known Kathy for almost a decade. She was the voice of GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, for us on Lesbi Gay Radio. She has worked intricately with gay media, gay groups, gay organizations. She now has her own company. And Kathy joins me today to do an overview of the debate, the good, the bad, the ugly. Did we have any surprises? Who were the candidates that impressed? Who did not? And so that is going to be on our show today, a little follow-up post-mortem to the debate, the first ever. It's huge, you know.
So you can find this now for people like me who had their head buried.
It's Visible Vote, but Visible Vote 08. I think it's .org probably. Visible Vote 08 would be what the Google is. Or you can go to Logo online, or just Google gay presidential debate Logo. You'll find it. And people polled their opinions. Definitely can see clips from it. It was an interesting and monumental night. So it's so great to have a television station like Logo where we can see that. In upcoming weeks, we're going to be talking with someone else who is doing great things on Logo. So it's nice to have our own network now. So we're going to be talking with Kathy Renna about the presidential debate. Also, we have a lot of news. The news continues to abound and include us today. So stay with us. We'll be back after this.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big, strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Ad Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts, Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
President Bush has vowed to veto the recent attempt to expand the federal hate crime statute to include sexual orientation. A White House spokesman said that, quote, the qualifications in the bill are so broad that virtually any crime involving a homosexual individual has potential to have hate crime elements. End quote. The crime measure is attached to a defense authorization bill that some feel Democrats will use in an attempt to change the Iraq war policy.
Glenn Murphy, who was recently elected president of the Young Republican National Federation, has resigned from his post after being accused of performing a sex act on a 22-year-old man while he slept. Murphy, the former chairman of the Clark County Republican Party in Indiana, is being investigated by the county sheriff's department for allegedly criminal deviant conduct.
U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein of California broke a deadlock vote in favor of Leslie Southwick, a controversial judicial nominee of President Bush. Southwick has signed another judge's opinion that homosexuality is a choice that has repercussions.
Thanks. In Illinois, Deborah Mrock of Winthrop Harbor was killed and her partner, Karen Rudolph of Gurnee, was injured at Illinois Beach State Park when a storm forced a tree into their tent. The couple was celebrating their 7th anniversary.
The Judicial Council of the United Methodist Church will consider the case of Baltimore's Reverend Ann Gordon, who underwent medical procedures to become the Reverend Drew Phoenix. The council, slated to meet in late October in San Francisco, will determine if a transgender minister should be reviewed.
In New Jersey, a 3-judge panel ruled that a lesbian couple could not file taxes jointly in 2006, even though they got married in Canada in 2003. The court ruled that Rosalind Quarto and Judith Pritchison's tax-related benefits did not take effect in the state until February 19th of this year, when gay and lesbian couples could enter into civil unions.
In Virginia, the Arlington County School Board has allowed the group Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays, PFOX, to post promotional material in high schools, but the school does not have to accept it. PFOX officials have said that they will eventually attempt to distribute its materials in middle schools. The organization Truth Wins Out called the board's decision a capitulation that puts the health and well-being of students at risk.
Absolutely.
Amen.
In the United Kingdom, scientists have cut down the brown-tailed moth population explosion by having some of the males be attracted to other males.
Mm.
The researchers spread female pheromones on larvae, confusing the male moths, who have very bad eyesight. People initially called for something to be done because they were suffering rashes and respiratory problems from the insects, so they're making them gay?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Lovely. We love that.
Where is the pheromone I can slather all over the boys?
There you
can
go.
I just do
Let's
it?
Find it. Singer Melissa Etheridge recently surprised a Lafayette, Indiana student chorus that was rehearsing one of her songs. Etheridge talked with the members on the Bach Chorale Performing Arts Workshop, who were singing her song, I Need to Wake Up, for about an hour. The workshop's coordinator, Marcy Miller, is friends with Etheridge and secretly arranged the visit. How cool is that?
I wonder if they were singing it in the morning. Power couple David and Victoria Beckham are about to get intimate with the public, and I don't think it's a sex tape.
Oh.
The twosome's new His and Her fragrances, called Intimately Beckham, will be available in department stores next month.
Maybe we should get some. You get hers and I'll get his. Actress Sarah Gilbert, known as Darlene on the sitcom Roseanne, has given birth to a baby girl named Sawyer. Gilbert and her partner Allison Adler also have a son Levi, who was born in 2004. Congratulations. Yay. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Hi, this is Candace Kane, and I'd like to say gorgeous. And thanks a lot for listening to Windy City Queercast.
This past week on Thursday, August the 9th, history was made as the first ever presidential candidate debate happened that focused on GLBT issues and the GLBT vote. It was called Visible Vote 08, and it was a very historic night. And here to kind of talk over it with me, blow by blow, is Kathy Renna of Renna Communications. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very, very good. So this was a debate thrown by HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, and Logo, the big, now we have a gay television station.
About a few years ago, right?
Who would have thought that? Kind of set the scene a little bit for us of what this night entailed.
Sure. I mean, it was absolutely historic because, you know, it was nationally televised, so it was much more accessible. It was available online, you know, so with the internet, anybody could, you know, watch the whole thing. And it was an opportunity to focus primarily on issues important to the LGBT community. So I think just the fact that they pulled it off, that everybody, you know, agreed to do this, you know, Barack Obama was like a schoolgirl giddily saying, I was the first one to respond, you know.
Yeah.
it was like a contest to see who could be first, you know. And there was clearly a level of interest and enthusiasm in getting in there and talking. Now, once the cameras went on and the questions started, I think that's when we started to see some of the flaws, which, you know, I think were not surprising. I think some things could have been done a little differently. And at the end of the day, I guess the question that I asked myself was, did this help people decide who to vote for in a more informed manner, or help them make the decision better?
So let's start a little bit with, what do you think the pros were, besides the fact that the event was happening? And I mean, that's obviously a big pro for the first time in history to have a forum.
Right. I mean, I think the pros are, yeah, that it happened, that it was more accessible, that it was, you know, that I think a lot of the questions were very heartfelt, edible job, as she stated at the beginning. I'm not a journalist, but you know what? Sometimes it's the real questions from real people at debates that we hear. And I think when she questioned Hillary Clinton rather pointedly about how she really felt like her heart was broken, as were many of our hearts when her husband was in office, that was, to me, one of the most emotional moments of the night. So, you know, I just, again, I mean, I think the fact that it happened was really the news here. Unfortunately, we didn't see a whole lot of news made by the candidates themselves.
Right.
Except for Bill Richardson, who kind of fell all over himself and spontaneously combusted on stage, but
right.
That was, you know, and that was hard. But I mean, I think the reality was that, like all debates, you know, there's no, just because it's a debate on gay issues, we're not immune to the machinations of the political process. You know, it was very orchestrated. They were ready for the questions. They knew that most of it would focus on marriage and don't ask, don't tell. And you know, the thing that disappointed me the most was that it wasn't really a debate. It was literally
right.
Like Oprah. You know, and it came, they sat on the couch, everybody was a little too relaxed for my, you know, my part. I just, you know, I would have sat up and been a little bit more pushing in their space, you know, to
right,
get them
right.
to really answer. And I think there could have been some, you know, more challenging follow-up questions. And you can't differentiate between people when you have them just come up one at a time.
Right.
So it was, you know, it was like, oh, great. You know, we got kind of what we expected from everybody. I didn't hear a whole lot of anything new from people. Barack Obama, actually, I was impressed. I think hearing him talk about a lot of the different issues, including, you know, sort of the parallels and the comparisons people make between the civil rights movement and the LGBT movement, I thought he did a really good job articulating that there are parallels, but they're not the same thing, in a way that was really honest and felt really heartfelt. You know, and to have him say, I think same-sex couples should have all the rights that straight couples have just to call it marriage, to me it was like, well, you're saying we should be able to get married.
Right.
saying we should have all the federal benefits. the semantic thing annoys me. You know, people throw that around like it's not a big deal. It actually is a big deal, I think. But it was very interesting that I didn't. I sat there waiting for something to happen, and I didn't really. I didn't see anything earth-shattering happen.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting that Obama, who at least on the Visible Vote 08 website had one of the highest votes immediately when people responded of who they thought won mm-hmm. the night or who they were most impressed with. But it is interesting, you know, at one point, I think he even set the tone with, you know, kind of throwing up his hands and saying, you know, come on, you know, I don't think that this is an archaic answer. You know, do you think that... at this point in time, expectation from our leading candidates, is it truly because they think that it won't get passed and they want to give us our civil, you know, the civil union so we have the civil protections and that they do feel like that is something they can accomplish as opposed to promising us marriage and then not making that happen?
Well, you know, I think what's interesting here is that, one, we need to look at this in a historical perspective. I mean, in reality, terms like domestic partner didn't exist until like the early 80s. And,
right.
you know, the first person who was a presidential candidate, a serious presidential candidate, to actually say they were gay was Michael Dukakis. And a lot was laid on him, and all that happened, as we know. So historically, we've made an enormous amount of progress, because I think everybody who sat in that chair... it would be like, fine, you know, let gay people get married.
Right.
But you know, that's not, there's a difference. When I lived in Washington, and you remember, I lived there for over a decade,
right?
Which is plenty.
Yes.
I always said activism is about vision and dreams and passion, and politics is about practicality and reality. And elections are about promises. So you have to really kind of look at, you know, where they are, how they're trying to position themselves and what they're really doing. They're running for president. You know, they're not running for dog catcher, and they have to try and please a lot of different kinds of people. And then I think the real test comes when they're in office and they really have to test their mettle and say, okay, where am I going to stick my neck out? What am I going to try and do to advance in Los Angeles and say, well, if I get elected, I'm going to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and I'm going to let gay people, you know, have all the same rights as straight couples in terms of marriage. And it's easy for a story.
Right, right. Was there, I mean, obviously, you know, Kucinich comes out, wants to give us the world, wants to, you know, make the beautiful, loving world that we all want.
Right.
Do you think that he created some mobility and behind him with this debate?
In reality, no. I mean, he's
yeah.
not a viable candidate. He's a wonderful person, and he's
yeah.
clearly so solidly with our community and supportive and, you know, electorate in a presidential election where, frankly, people are very worried about a whole host of issues, you know, and same-sex marriage and marriage equality and Don't Ask, Don't Tell are not necessarily that high up on the list even, as we've seen from
yes.
the polls. You
right.
know, they're going to look at him and say, can he lead a country at war? I mean, that was the other thing that really was interesting about the debate. I mean, they brought in Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They talked about, you know, the... having a linguist tossed out of the military, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, we've had a lot of translators.
Right, exactly. But the reality is they didn't really talk about immigration and how that's having an impact on our entire country and on our community, and why there are a lot of people in the LGBT community who care about these issues and other issues beyond, you know, very, you know, LGBT-focused issues. The bigger picture in that sense was not necessarily brought up, and if it was, I think that's where you really would have seen some difference in the candidates, and you would have seen why, you know, when Hillary Clinton walked in, the whole tenor of the room changed. This is my understanding. I had lunch with a colleague who was there, and he said, you know, there were a few moments, like when Hillary walked in, you know, it was all of a sudden, it was like, you know, Cher had walked in, you know, it was like this amazing change in tone. And when, you know, Bill Richardson said, it's a choice, it was like the air was sucked out of the room, and people were like gasping and hissing, and, you know, and you couldn't hear that or see that on television, but, you know, it was really, you know, it was obvious who the politician was and who could work the crowd and, you know, who had the most popular, quote-unquote, popular support in the room, and it was definitely Hillary Clinton.
Well, you mentioned the fact that Melissa Etheridge was, you know, on the panel and was kind of a more layperson voice for the debate. And she did say that she felt, and many of her gay and lesbian friends, like they had been thrown under the bus. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the phrase I think she used. Navigated those waters of, you know, deeds done in a past administration.
Right. Well, it's interesting because I think the question really took her back. The expression on her face when Melissa finished that sort of statement slash question, because there was really a little bit of both.
Right.
Was really one of shock. I think she was really hurt by it, because I think she really realized how heartfelt and how real it was. And then she, you know, did what she does best, which is she went right back to policy and politics, and, you know, she's a wonk. Just, you know, I mean, that's why a lot of people love her so much. An explanation that I think, you know, the vast majority of people in Washington would agree with at the time. Now, in retrospect, I was there in Washington in 1992 and 1993 when, you know, the few days into office, Bill Clinton was getting slammed by the right. Immediately, they went after him, you know, guns a-blazing about don't ask, don't tell. And we had to form the campaign for military service. So, I mean, he just walked in and was under attack. And, you know, I remember the pain of knowing that he signed the Defense of Marriage Act in, you know, at midnight, you know, under dark cover of night, and that we've been dealing with the ramifications of that ever since. And she tried to explain it as she could as a politician. You know,
yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, that's her life. That's her world. That's the world that she lives in. And it's a very different one than Melissa Etheridge or me or you.
Well, and it's also interesting in that what I realized from that debate, almost in having it be about our community, all of these issues, to which I don't really think any other candidate has any historical context besides, you know, I mean, Obama definitely mentioned that he mentions gays in his speeches, but for how many years has he been doing that? I mean, when you go, Hillary goes back decades right. of dealing right. with these issues and understands the context mistakes made. I think people would like to hear a little more that were mistakes, but she now has launched right. this new campaign, this new television campaign that mentions the invisibles, the people not seen in the community. Have you heard much about this? And
no, do you, that's very interesting.
Yeah, well, people should definitely start looking into that because they're starting to air, you know, based in Iowa. Some of the other candidates have had television ads, and hers, one of hers is entitled The Invisibles, and definitely seems to be speaking to our community as well as some other more marginalized communities. One of the things that we can say is that there was the attempt to ask Republicans to have a similar debate. All of those were rejected. Are we going to hear, do you feel, with your history of covering these issues and the politics of GLBT issues in major elections, are we going to hear these as divisive topics this year as we did in the preceding presidential campaigns? Or is it going to be what one of the candidates said, which is that, I think it was Hillary, who said, I'm just this time around.
Yeah, I guess I would say it hasn't surfaced yet. You know,
right.
I think it's really hard to tell, you know, pre-primaries. And, you know, they're always happy to pull that trick out of their bag, you know, the using homophobia as a wedge issue and using our community as a wedge issue is really popular. Given that all of the Democratic candidates, you know, support us at a level that is really unprecedented, I think they're going to wait to pull that out until they have one person to attack and can attack them specifically. I don't think there's any need for them right now. I mean, I think the Republicans are trying to figure out how to deal with the fact that the country has such a low sense of confidence in them because of how the war's been handled, the economy, the war on terrorism, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so the fear-based campaigns will begin, and if Hillary is the Democratic candidate, the attacks on her will be vicious, I'm sure, because they're just waiting for that to happen. So
and
I think they're holding back. We'll have to see. I mean, there's no, there's not been sort of the wave of amendments and sort of local legislation that we saw in the last election that really helped kind of give the Republicans and the Christian evangelicals and the more conservative parts of the electorate that surge. But, you know, we'll just have to see what happens, I think.
Yeah, definitely it's not the 11th hour yet, and all bets are not off yet. I think you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Do you think that the trend that we saw with how well Obama performed on television in terms of response and as people get to know him, do you think that he is going to prove challenging to Hillary, who's probably the front runner right now on a national level?
I, I think that's true. I think it's, I mean, she's pretty far ahead of him, but he has ground to make up. But, you know, it was very interesting. My understanding, they had, you know, parties and events after the forum in Los Angeles, and the, you know, the one that they had for Barack Obama was, in fact, according to a colleague of mine that went, was incredibly diverse. There weren't just LGBT people. There were a lot of straight allies. There was a lot of celebrity. You know, I think a lot of the quote-unquote elite in Hollywood feel kind of let down by Bill and Hill a little bit. We've seen that with Gary Geffen and others. So it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, again, we have a while to go here.
Yes.
You know, these horse races start earlier and earlier and earlier. It's like, you know, I always think of like, it's like when they put the Christmas decorations out in like September now, you know, something more and more and more and more money and that narrows the candidates as well. So it's, you know, I think there's a long way to go. We'll be talking about this for a while before there's concrete things to talk about, whether it's the attacks by the right or, you know, who's jockeying to be the vice presidential candidate.
Yeah. And that's a whole nother story. Well, Kathy Renna from Renna Communications, I hope that we can continue this conversation with you all the way up to the election. And it's so great to have you on the show with us today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.